I want to share with you today from the story of Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, and I'm going to reflect as well in portions of chapter 2. And so if you go to 1 Samuel chapter 1, I'm going to start off just with one verse. But what I'm going to do is kind of give you a little bit of the story, then I'm going to pick up some principles from the story that you can take away and apply to your own lives. It is being recorded, and I will get it on the website hopefully soon, along with Pastor Joy's exhortation from last week once I've gone through that. So 1 Samuel chapter 1, just going to read one verse because we've read a number of verses already. I'm just going to read verse 28. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshipped the Lord there. Like I said, there's so many things that I can pick up from this story. But I'm going to raise to you four P's that I've picked up. And actually, it's more than four. You're going to hear that in a moment, why it's more than four. Okay? But Hannah was married to Elkanah. And every year, Elkanah took his wife, Hannah, and his second wife as well, his other wife, Penina, they went up to the house of the Lord every year and they worshipped. And as was the tradition back then, the man would give the woman a sacrifice, if you like, for her to bring up. But every year when they went up, and this was not a one-off thing, this was something that happened every single year. And as you read the story, and I encourage you to do that when you go home, read, and you'll see for yourself that every year she went up, she had the challenges that we're going to look at, you know, today, coming from particularly one person. And I'm just going to pick up some points from that. We're going to look, first of all, before I say anything else, on Hannah's plight, and that's the first P. Hannah's plight. And what do I mean by that? The trouble that she has gone through in doing right, she still experienced hassle. She still experienced challenges. She still experienced circumstances that were not favorable, produced because of the actions of someone else. Okay? So she had her plight. She had, number one, in verse 2, chapter 1 and verse 2 of 1 Samuel, it says that she had no children. Hannah desired to have children, but she had none. Hannah, the Bible says in verse 5 that the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why her womb was closed. The Bible doesn't tell us why the Lord did that. But nonetheless, the Bible is very clear in verse 5, the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. I'm going through the book of Deuteronomy at the moment, and I've only gone into the first 10 chapters. I read 5 chapters this morning. But I think it was yesterday I read where the Lord had promised Israel that if they would be obedient to him, time and time again, God says, if you'll be obedient to me and do what I command you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a victory. I'm going to triumph over your enemies. I'm going to fight your battles for you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to give you the best of your best. And one of the things that the Lord said as well in Deuteronomy is that he will open up the wombs of all your women and all your animals, not just the people, but all the animals. And so that was a blessing from the Lord. But here we see that Hannah's womb, for whatever reason, was closed. And dare I say this, that perhaps the Lord did that because of what he knew would happen. And he wanted to bring out this story even for our benefit today. Because as we look at Hannah, still looking at her plight, we see that Penina, that's Elkanah's other wife, the Bible said that she provoked her severely in verse 6. So this is a woman that is now provoking another woman, because the Bible tells us that Penina had many sons and many daughters. Hannah had none. And Hannah desperately wanted a child. But Hannah remained focused on what she should remain focused on and did what was right in the presence of the Lord and also her husband and others. While Penina, imagine that. Penina provoked her severely. So it's not just a matter of teasing for a moment and then leaving it. And this happened, folks, year after year after year after year. So this was not a one-off thing. It happened continuously. But we're not only going to look at her plight. Let's take a look, at her pain. Let's take a look, a little look at her pain. Okay, Peninnah provoked her year after year, and we see that in verse 7, as they went to the house of the Lord. Fancy that. You're going to church and you're teasing someone. You're going to church, folks, and you're provoking people. Imagine that. Just stop and think about that for a moment. It's one thing provoking, is severely provoking someone, but it's another thing when you're severely provoking someone when you're going to church. And I shouldn't laugh because it's not even funny. But then that's human nature, and that's what happens, and that's what people do. People can be spiteful. People can be horrible. And this happened to Hannah year after year as they went to the house of the Lord. Verse 8, Hannah could not eat because of the pain. She was in so much pain, so much turmoil because of this, to the point where she could not take in food. And in verse 10, it says that Hannah was in bitterness of soul. She wept in anguish. Listen to the words. She prayed whilst in pain. Okay, verse 10 tells us what was going on in Hannah's emotion. She had pain. But isn't it amazing with this powerful woman? I respect her so much just from reading this because of who she is and the way that she carried herself throughout all of this. She still went to the house of the Lord. She still offered worship to the Lord. Can I get an amen here, church? She still offered praise to God. She still brought her worship. She still, in her pain, did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Today we have people that are going through pain, but instead of going to the house of God, they run from the house of God. Instead of obeying and doing the right thing, they do the wrong thing. Instead of humbling themselves before God, like Hannah did, they don't humble themselves before God. They just do what they want to do and make the matter, if you like, whatever it is, worse. And there's always a danger when we run off. But here is a woman that did not do that, that stuck to what she was supposed to do and did the right thing. So let's look briefly at her posture. And Hannah's posture in verse 11, it says that she made a vow to the Lord. All right, and she made this vow whilst in the presence of Eli, and she made that vow in the tabernacle, in the house of God. She made a vow to the Lord, and she said, "Lord, I just don't want a child." But this is what she said. She said, "Lord, give me a male child. And if you give me a male child, Lord, what I'm going to do is I'm going to lend him to you. I'm going to give him back to you, Lord." And I see right there the unselfishness of Hannah. That she wanted a child so much. She could have just prayed and said, "Lord, just give me a child. Any child, male or female. Just give me a child because I want to be a mother." But she didn't. She asked for a male child. And she specifically, and she said, "Lord, if you give him to me, I'm going to give him back to you." And that's exactly what she did. She went to the house of the Lord, verse 9. She prayed in the house of the Lord in her distress, verse 13. She was misunderstood by Eli. Eli saw her and Eli thought she was drunk. And she wasn't drunk. She wasn't drunk at all. And, you know, she had a conversation with him and said, no, don't think that of me. I'm not doing that. I'm actually in distress. I'm actually in, what did she say, bitterness of soul. My soul is bitter. She was honest before the priest of the Lord, and she was honest before God. I'm in here in your house, but I've got pain. I'm hurting. I'm hurting because of words of others. I'm hurting because of the actions of others. I'm hurting because of the lack of something that I need in my life that I do not have. I'm hurting because of these various things. But what we see in her posture was not only her distress, not only her pain, not only her being misunderstood, but we see that she remained humble before God. She remained humble before her husband. She remained humble before Eli. And she did not, notice that she did not quarrel with Eli. When Eli thought she was drunk, she didn't get an attitude. And she didn't sort of put her hand at her kimbo and start to say, "I tell you something, I'm going for a penny, you don't come and ask me whatever else, you just come and say it." She didn't have any kind of attitude. She humbled us. Are you hearing me, church?
Yeah.
This woman, this mother, this woman of God, before she became a mother, humbled herself before God. She didn't puff up. She didn't give Eli the silent treatment. She didn't pout. She didn't sort of give him the silent treatment. She didn't do that. Her posture was right. And it's one of humility. And when you humble yourself like that, then you'll be able to have a conversation with people. You'll be able to talk with people. You'll be able to transmit and translate whatever is going on there. And that's what she did. She humbled herself and did what she knew was right to do. What was that? Go to the house of God and worship. Now tell me today, how many people are not in the world house of God because of their pain? And even today in churches, you find that when people have pain, they tend to withdraw themselves away from the house of God, from the place where God has placed you. And I'm telling you right now, that is not the right posture. It's not the right attitude. That is not what God wants you to do. It's time that we grow up and stand in the midst of the pain that we're going through and say, Lord, you promised to be with me, and so therefore you will be with me. Yes, Lord, this is a storm that is brewing, but storms are temporary. They come, but they go, church. That's what Hannah did. She still continued to worship, still continued to go to the house of the Lord, and still continued to honor God in the way that she knew that she should honor God. So the fourth P, so we looked at what? Hannah's plight, her pain, her posture, and now Hannah's patience, prayer, and praise. I'm putting them all in one because this is an exhortation. All right, and when we look at verse 27 of chapter 1, it says this: for the child, now Hannah had the baby, and it says in verse 20, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition. Remember, let me remind you, this was not something that Hannah was just praying for a few days, a few months, a few weeks. It was years. It was years. And while there was no answer, while her womb was still closed, she was still doing the right thing. Still not running away from the house of God. I wish today that people would run to the house of God instead of away from the house of God. Still receiving right counsel to do the right thing. So that she can be in the will of God and be in the presence of God and be where God wants her to be. And now the time came, she had the baby, and then she said, for this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition. And then in verse 28 that I just read, it says, I have lent him to the Lord. I'm going to share with you a little bit about that word lent. I looked it up. And it's a word that comes from the primitive root word, another primitive root word in Hebrew. And the long and the short of it is, the word is shor'al. That's how it's pronounced. Shor'al. Okay? And that word really means, it's a bit odd me saying this, but this is the word itself. Okay? The word actually means to ask, but not in this context. Because as you should know by now, in the Greek and in the Hebrew, different words or the same word is used to describe different situations, depending on it. It's just the way that the language is devised, okay? It means primarily to ask whether it's another person or whether it's God. And this is what the commentary said that I looked up. It said, very rarely is it used, okay, to refer to borrowing or lending. And this case, Hannah's case, where this word is used, because it's used more than once, it's the same word, and this is one of those exceptions where this word is used to mean borrowing or lending. Now we see from the context that Hannah said, that Hannah gave the child or lent him to the Lord, okay, for the rest of his life. It wasn't just for a moment or two. It wasn't for a year or 5 years, and then after that, well, the child can come home and I can raise him. She was an honorable woman, and she did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord looked down and remembered Hannah and blessed Hannah, and we're coming to that. But in her patience, prayer, and praise, we see that Hannah prayed and said, my heart, we just sang this song, my heart rejoices in the Lord. That's what she said. My heart rejoices in the Lord. This was a heart of a mother now that was grateful for the things that she had received. The gift that she had got from God. The fact that she bore a son and was able now to fulfill that vow that she said she would do. Give him back to the Lord was a delightful thing. We sang that song this morning. My soul, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. My soul rejoices in the Lord. That's coming from Mary. That's another mother is coming from. And that's Luke chapter 1. Mary's magnificent. Magnificat. I think is how it's pronounced. Okay? When she rejoiced in God because of what God was doing in her life. But let me get back to Hannah. I'm going to read 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. I need to read this because I want you to really hear. 1 Samuel chapter 2 from verse 18. I really want you to hear this. But Samuel ministered before the Lord even as a child, wearing a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan that was given to the Lord." Then they would go to their home. And verse 21, the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now, isn't God good? Isn't God good? But we thank God for this example that we find here in the Bible where this woman was a faithful woman to the things of God. During her pain, she did not abandon God. She did not abandon her promise. She remembered her promise. And she gave her son to. She lent him to the Lord. Eli looked after him. And every year she would make these little robes and bring it up to him. And I'm guessing each year she would need to do that because the child was growing. And so the robe wouldn't fit. And so even though she lent him to the Lord, and it's the Lord's responsibility, because of her heart, the motherly heart that she had, she still took care of him. I thank God for mothers. Mothers, those anyway, that look after their children, that put their children first, and that do, that make the sacrifices, you know, for their children, for their well-being. And I want to tell you, I want to remind you today, church, mothers especially, that God has not, your good works is not gone unseen. God sees everything. Look, mothers, God sees the sacrifices that you make. He sees the pain that you go through. He sees it, and he knows it, and he cares. He sees the turmoil. You know, sometimes even when your kids are grown up, you're still a parent, you're still a mother, you're still a father. And you know, you still care, and your heart still goes out. And I want to tell you that God loves you, mothers. He sees your pain. He sees the sacrifice that you make. And I'm telling you this, you stay true to what God has called you to do. Stay true to where he has placed you and what he has called you to, and God will bless you. Don't run from the house of God. Run to the house of God. Don't run from God. Run to God. Don't run from your fellow brothers and sisters. Run to them and let them help you. Let them support you. Let them pray with you, because that's what we're here for. Can I get a loud amen? Amen. Samuel ministered before the Lord. Year after year after year. And I'm going to close. You know what I like about this? Let me just go to chapter 2 and verse 1. This is what I like about this, you know. I really like about this. Before you read, in chapter 1, you were reading about Hannah's pain. You were seeing her weeping. She was in bitterness of soul. She was in turmoil. She was even misunderstood by those that maybe you think would know better. But everybody sometimes misunderstands somebody and makes mistakes. And this is what we see with Hannah. And she was in her pain. She was. We see her dutifulness. We see her consistency in wanting to worship. We see that she was caring about the things of God and doing what was right in the presence of the Lord. So even though she was in pain, okay, she was doing the right things. But listen to this in verse 2. Now she has changed. And she has changed. And verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." As a matter of fact, chapter 2 is a song of Hannah. It's a prayer and it's a song at the same time of Hannah. And now it's a different woman that you're looking at. Now she's not happy anymore. If you read it, and I haven't got time to do that, read chapter 2, you'll see that her spirit was uplifted. She was encouraged, and she was now a different person, a different perspective. And her heart was rejoicing. Why? Because the Lord came through for her and gave her what she needed. And she fulfilled her vow. And as we just read, the Lord gave her not just Samuel, but 2 other sons and 3 other daughters. I think I said that the right way around. I hope I did. But other children. 5 other children she had. Listen. When women pray, when Christians pray, I'm telling you that the devil is fearful of a true believer who prays. Let me read something to you. Leonard Ravenhill said this: "No man is greater than his prayer life. The pastor who is not praying is playing. The people who are not praying are straying. We have many organizers, but few agonizers. We have many players, but and payers, but few prayers. Many singers, but few clingers. We have lots of pastors, but few wrestlers. Many fears, but few tears. Many fashion, but little passion. Many interferers, but few intercessors. Many writers, but few fighters. Failing here, we fail everywhere." That's what Leonard Ravenhill said. And when he said, failing here, we fail everywhere, you fail in the point of prayer, you fail everywhere. You fail to pray, you have failed. There's no such thing as a successful Christian who is not praying. No, no, no. You're not praying, like you just heard. You're playing. You're straying. And you're going somewhere that you ought not to go. A.C. Dixon, you've heard this. I sent it to you during the fasting. I'm going to read it. "When we depend on organizations, we get what organizations can do. When we depend on education, we get what education can do. When we depend upon man, we get what man can do. When we depend on prayer, we get what God can do." Amen. Come on, I should have got a louder amen than that. When we depend upon prayer, we get what God can do. Samuel Chadwick said the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. And I could tell you stories. I could pause right there and tell you stories of accounts that I've read of how demons are fearful and fearful, really fearful and scared of Christians who pray. And demonologists have been known to tell other people that are demonologists, when you see a Christian out there praying, sometimes Christians go on the street like we used to do and do prayer walks. When you see that, don't go near that group. That's what one ex-demonologist told fellow demonologists who were coming into that fold. He said that, do everything you can, but you see those stay away from them. Stay away from them. Why? Because he knows that nothing can overcome or beat a prayerful Christian. Are you hearing me, church? Yeah, you got problems, you got challenges, but you better be in the place of prayer. You better be on your knees. You better be sometimes weeping before God. Just on your knees, just falling flat and just saying, Lord, have mercy. Whatever the spirit of that's inside you, the groanings Paul says, that cannot be uttered. Sometimes you can't find the words because of the heaviness that you feel, because of the burden of what is going on. But you've got to push in prayer. Church, are you listening? You've got to push in prayer. You may not understand everything. You don't have to understand everything. You turn it over to Jesus, man. Turn it over to Him. Because the last thing you want to be doing is fighting in the flesh. Right? Jeremiah 33 says this, and verse 3. "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." What is God saying here to the prophet? God is saying, when you bow yourself to me in prayer, the things that you don't know, I'm going to show you. Things that other people don't know, I'm going to open up the avenues and make that revelation known to you. Are you hearing, church? God is a God who brings revelation. Moms, whatever you're going through, Whatever turmoil, whatever pain you're going through, some of it private, and I understand that. I know that. But I'm telling you that God sees and He knows and He cares. And never leave Him out of your decisions. Never do that. Never do that. God says here, when you do that, I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. Nothing. The highest kind of revelation that you can get is revelation knowledge. Revelation directly given to you by God. And when God is saying that, hey, I'm going to show you stuff, that's the stuff I want to see. I don't know about it, but I want to see. That's the stuff I want. You show me, Lord. You show me. Man can show me this. A man can say this. A man can say that. But Lord, I want to hear from you. What are you saying to me, Lord? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But if we stop there, we're in error. We've got to read the next verse. Because the next verse says, but God. Come on, somebody say, but God. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. I'm telling you that through these two scriptures, God is saying to you that whatever you need to see, whatever you need to know, God will make it available to you. Yes, you can know up to a certain degree. I only know certain things up to a certain degree. And I cannot depend upon my intellect to know everything. I must depend upon the Spirit of God to lead me and to bring me into His arena, into His purposes, and deeper into the things that He wants me to do for Him. I must depend upon Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. Acts 1 verse 4. And they continued, this is the disciples, and they continued with one accord and in prayer and in supplication before the Lord. I'm going to close on a funny note and I'm finished. This is a funny note I'm going to close on. And this is from memory now, and I think I need to say this, right? The tendency of the flesh. One of the things that the Lord showed me, okay, is that the flesh tends to act on impulse. The flesh tends to act on emotion. And the flesh tends to act, okay, to please itself. It wants to do things. It wants to do this. It wants to do that. And one of the things, be careful. When people are doing you harm, okay? When people are saying horrible things against you, because it will happen, those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Be careful not to be drawn down to that fleshly level. But make sure that you are on the word level. Mothers in particular, I'm speaking to today because Mother's Sunday. But this is the principle, you see, so it applies to everybody. Make sure that you are there. Okay, don't seek revenge. Okay? The Bible says this. The Bible says in the Old Testament and also in the New, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is mine. Now, in order to understand what God was saying, we need to understand what vengeance is. Vengeance is this. If you take your notes, write this down. Vengeance is a necessary act, all right, for punishment given from a heart of love and justice, not revenge. I'll repeat. Vengeance is an act of punishment given to an offender okay, coming from a heart of love and justice, not revenge. So that's what vengeance is. Now the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, I believe it is verse 35, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's so important, it's repeated again in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 30. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So I've just given you the definition of vengeance, but I'm saying to you that the Bible tells us it belongs to God. In other words, then, God decides what is going to happen in this particular case. Alright, with vengeance. God decides. What is the difference between vengeance and revenge? Well, revenge. This is what the definition of revenge that I'm going to give you now from my memory. Revenge is, thank you. Revenge, thank you very much. Revenge is an action taken upon an individual for the hurt and the harm caused. All right? Not coming from a place of love, but coming from a place of, what's the word now? But coming from, I'm missing this one up because I can't find that last word. It's coming from a place of, not only use the word revenge, but coming from a place of, if you like, spite. Right? So the difference between the two is that one is God's, and God said, I will do this. And mothers, whatever you're going through, whatever the pain that you're going through, whatever the actions that you're going through, whatever has happened to you in your life, okay? Don't get off in the flesh. Don't follow the emotions. Don't follow the impulses that are wrong and away from God's word. Follow what God's word says. Do what Hannah did. What did she do? She didn't run away from the house of God. She ran to the house of God. She didn't run away from prayer. She ran to prayer. Are you here, church? She didn't run away from where God placed her. She ran to where God placed her. She didn't run away from the circumstance. She ran to the circumstance. She didn't run away from God. She ran to God. That's what she did. She ran to God. Alright? And we don't want to get into a place now where it's revenge. An act of the flesh to satisfy the flesh. Some things you have to hand over to God. And it takes great maturity and understanding of God's heart sometimes for things to happen. Because the impulse is always, well, they've got to get him back. I don't like what they did. I could tell you stories from my own life of things that have happened. And how I wanted to jump on the impulse, if you like. Jump on the... And it's not even that I was doing anything horrible. I just wanted to get away from the circumstance. Get away from... And God just backed me up and said, no, you're not. You're not. You're going to stay. You're going to stay right where I planted you. You're going to stay right where I want you. And I'm saying to you today, no matter what the impulse is, submit them to the Word of God. And that's what the Bible tells us to do. 2 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 2 to 5. All right, it tells us that we should place those impulses, place those emotions under the authority of God's word. That's where it belongs. Are you here?
Yes.
Place them there. That's what Hannah did. She ran to the house of God. She prayed. She was in pain. She was in turmoil. But she ran to the house of God and she did the right thing. And then twice Eli was able to bless her. And may the Lord give you what your heart desires. And he did that with Samuel. And then later on, he blessed Elkanah and he blessed Hannah and said, may the Lord give you many. May the Lord give this woman. He was very specific. Because Elkanah had two wives. May the Lord give this woman many children. And we see from the word of God, this is what happened. So, folks, submit yourself to God and depend upon him to lead you and to guide you in everything. Mothers, you do a tremendous job. You do a tremendous job. As a matter of fact, can we all stand on our feet for a moment, please? And I'm going to ask you to do something. Can everybody stand on your feet? Can we do this? Can we put our hands together and give a round of applause for all mothers? Can we do that? Come on, you can do that. Come on, you can do that. Let's do that for mothers. For mothers. Remain standing. You are precious in God's sight and you are precious in our sight. Okay? You go through a lot and I'm telling you now that we are with you. Okay? We are with you and we want to help you. We want to support you. Okay? So we want to bless you. As you remain standing on your feet, I'm going to breathe a word of prayer. Then who am I handing to? To you. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Joy. Just close your eyes right where you are. Father, we are conscious, Lord.